Imagine for a minute that you're a high-powered attorney at a big law firm in downtown Boston. Every morning, you walk through Boston Common on your way to work from your home in the Back Bay. And every morning, you pass by the same two homeless men who spend their nights in the park. If you're like most people, you probably just keep walking. But what happens if you stop?
One day, I commented on the fact that one of the men was wearing a Giants jacket, and I was teasing him about it. He responded, "It's not a Giants jacket, it's a warm jacket." And where he bought his clothes, they didn't have Patriots jackets.
That is Peter Resnick, the high-powered attorney, and this is not an imaginary story. Resnick works at the Boston office of the global law firm McDermott Will & Emery. Following that day, the day he stopped to talk to the man in the Giants jacket, Chris, Peter's interaction with both homeless men got a little more personal. And pretty soon, Peter and Chris's friend Rob discovered they had a common interest in literature.
And I gave Rob a book called Water for Elephants, which we would talk about on the way to work. Then we started on another book, and I asked him what he had done with Water for Elephants, and he had given it to somebody else on the common. And I asked him what they did with it, and they gave it to somebody else. And so I became aware that there were people who were reading books on the common, that Rob and I were enjoying the experience of talking about the books, and we decided we would try to see if we could put together a book club.
A book club for homeless people. At first, Peter thought they'd hold meetings outside on the common, but Rob pointed out that for a group of people who live outside, a nice warm place to meet inside would be a little better. But when Peter offered to provide lunch at the indoor meetings, Rob said no.
Because I told him, you know, you make sandwiches and everything, you'll get people coming in for sandwiches, but not for the actual group. And it's like, you know, let's just keep it simple, coffee and donuts, and those who are interested in actually reading will be the ones who come, and not just anybody saying, oh, there's free food here.
They found a nearby church, the Church on the Hill, atop Beacon Hill, that was willing to let them use the space once a week. And they teamed up with Ron Tibbetts, an outreach worker in Boston who was leading a spiritual group for homeless people. Once Ron got over his initial reaction,
a book club? In my mind, it made absolutely no sense.
The members of his spiritual group became the core of the club. They thought it was an interesting experiment, but still, no one really knew how it would turn out in the long run.
What about the next story? Has everybody read the next story? The sweetheart of song.
Man, wasn't she a sweetheart?
I get the impression she was metaphorical.
Yeah. Flash forward 2 years to a recent Tuesday morning in an upstairs room at the Church on the Hill. 10 book club members are seated around a long conference table discussing a chapter of author Tim O'Brien's book, The Things They Carried, a fictional account about a platoon of U.S. soldiers in the Vietnam War. Ron is leading the meeting.
Is O'Brien trying to talk to us about addiction? On page 109, when he talks about the wanting turns to craving.
You know, I look at it as she has a need. And it becomes so intense that she has to have it constantly. I mean, I don't want to get in too far into it because of my own needs, you know.
But you can understand it.
I can understand it, yeah.
It's common, Ron says, for the conversations in the book club to turn to the real-life experiences of its homeless members. They've read about 24 books altogether now, ranging from Emerson essays to O. Henry short stories. A half mile and a world away from the Church on the Hill, sitting with Peter in Peter's law office on State Street on the 34th floor of a glass skyscraper, Ron says the books are now secondary. What's important about the club, he says, is that its members feel like someone cares what they think.
I've lived a good part of my life over the past 11 years with people who are homeless, people who are disenfranchised, living on the streets, and all of those stages spiraling into homelessness and moving out of it. And the one thing that institutional services for people who are homeless and marginalized don't provide is a vehicle for them to feel better about themselves, to feel worthy of asking for help, to feel that they are worthy. Small groups where they are listened to, where their voice is heard, where they are heard, reinforce that sense of self-worth and value. And that's what's at the core of the book club. Liken it to a prospector. The story is the way that you dig in the dirt to find the gold, and the gold is there in the stories of the folks who come.
Peter, what do you get out of this?
Great deal of pleasure. I have now got a new group of friends who are very important to me. It's very easy, as I did for many years, walking through the common and kind of dehumanizing the what is obviously the pain that people are going through and the isolation that people are going through and not dealing with it. And you saw through the book club that when you saw people as thinking, feeling human beings, nice people, people you could have as friends, it becomes a lot harder to walk by them in the common. It becomes a lot harder to dehumanize the people you pass.
Peter, do you consider yourself just another member? Or are you a little uncomfortable when you leave the room? You know you're going home to a very comfortable situation and not a life on the streets or facing the kinds of things that the folks who you've just met with are facing?
The answer is I feel very comfortable. These are another group of my friends. They've come from an area where I wouldn't have expected to make friends, but I have made friends there. And I look forward to the meetings. I walk into those meetings and am treated in every respect, I think, as just another member, including if I say something that somebody disagrees with, they have no hesitation about jumping all over me on it. If I suggest a book and they don't want to read that book, I'm just one vote. So I feel completely comfortable with it. And I don't feel uncomfortable walking out of the meetings either. I just look forward to the next time I'm going to come back.
Peter now has to come back to the book club if he wants to talk to his friend Rob, because they don't see each other every morning anymore on the common. With some legal help from Peter, Rob is now living in housing, but still comes back to the book club every Tuesday. The book club in Boston has inspired similar clubs across the country and around the world. There are now about 24 book clubs for homeless people from Austin, Texas to Barcelona, Spain. Every time they hear about a new club, the group here sends along a copy of the book they just finished reading, along with all their signatures inside. You can see the full list of the books that the club has read at our website, wbur.org.